You're listening to a podcast service of Ecclesia Baptist Church in Fairview, North Carolina. You can visit us on the web at www.ecclesiabaptist.org.
Luke 2, verses 6 and 7. While they were in Bethlehem, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
That was a long time ago and a long, long way away. But the memories of men are long, and nobody has forgotten anything about my own sad, queer part in it, unless maybe they've forgotten the truth about it. But you can never blame people for forgetting the truth, because it is, after all, such a subtle and evasive commodity. In fact, that distinguishes a truth from a lie, maybe no more than just the flutter of an eyelid or the tone of voice. If I were to say, "I believe," that would be a lie. But if I were to say, "I believe," that might be the truth. So I don't blame posterity for forgetting the subtleties and making me out to be the black villain of the piece, the heartless one that said, "No room, no room." I'll even grant you that a kind of villainy may be part of the truth. But if you want to speak the whole truth, you'll have to call me a villain with a catch in your voice, at least a tremor, a hesitation, with even a glitter of a tear in the corner of your eye. Because nothing is entirely black, not even the human heart. I speak to you as men of the world, not as idealists, but as realists. Do you know what it's like to run an inn, to run a business, a family, to run anything in this world for that matter, even your own life? It's like being lost in a forest of a million trees, and each tree is something that has to be done. Is there fresh linen on the beds? Did the children put their coats on before they went out? Has the letter been written? Has the book been read? Is there enough money left in the bank? Today we have food in our bellies and clothes in our back, but what can we do to make sure that it's there tomorrow? A million trees, a million things. Until finally, you have eyes for nothing else. And whatever you see turns into a thing. The sparrow lying in the dust in the ground at your feet, just a thing to be kicked out of the way, not the mystery of death. The calling of children outside your window, just a distraction, an irrelevance, not life, not the wildest miracle of all. That whispering in the air that comes sudden and soft, only the wind. Just the wind. Of course, I remember very well the evening they arrived. I was working on my accounts, and I looked up just in time to see the woman come through the door. She walked in that slow, heavy-footed way that women have in the last months, as though they're walking in a dream or at the bottom of the sea. Her husband stood a little behind her, a tongue-tied, helpless kind of man, I thought. I can't remember either of them saying very much, although I'm sure some words must have been passed, but at least it was mostly silence, the clumsy silence of the poor. You know what I mean. It was clear enough what they wanted. The stars had come out. I remember the stars perfectly, though I don't know why I should, sitting inside as I was, and my wife's cat jumped on the table where I was sitting. I had not stood up, of course. There was just mainly silence. Then it happened the way you heard. I did not lie about there being no room left. There really was none. Though perhaps if there had been a room, I might have lied. As much for their sake as for the sake of the inn. Their kind would have felt more at home in a stable, that's all. And I don't mean that unkindly either, God knows. Later that night, when the baby came, I was not there. I was lost somewhere in the enchanted forest of a million trees. 15 steps to the cellar, and don't hit your head on the way down. Firewood on the left. If the fire goes out, the heart freezes. Only the wind, just the wind. I speak to you as men of the world. So when the baby came, I was not around, and I saw none of it. As for what I heard, just the moment itself, when birth happens and nobody becomes somebody, I don't rightly know what I heard. But this I know, my own true love. All your life long you wait for your own true love to come. We all of us do. Our destiny, our joy, our heart's desire. How can I say it, ladies and gentlemen? When he came, I missed him. Pray for me, brothers and sisters. Pray for the innkeeper. Pray for me and for us all, for our own true love.
When he came, I missed him. Haunting words, to be sure. Missed him because I was lost in the forest of a million trees. I wonder this morning, what are your trees? What are those things that consume your mind and your time and your attention as we approach the wonder and the joy of Christmas? Maybe it's the tree of a job. A job with all its never-ending demands and deadlines and goals and the much-needed paycheck, the striving for success, the promotion on the horizon, the possibility of a Christmas bonus. Maybe it's the tree of caring for a family, keeping children fed and laundry done and dishes washed and meals cooked, houses cleaned, grocery shopping and bathrooms that need to be scrubbed and mowing the grass and fixing the leaky faucet and paying the bills. Maybe it's caring for an elderly parent. Maybe it's a hobby or some kind of entertainment. Games on Saturday and Sunday afternoon. Guns that need to be cleaned so you can go hunting. The camper that needs upkeep. The boat that needs a leak repaired. The instrument that needs the strings changed. The computer that sucks up our attention. The shopping outing. The night out with friends. The movie that's just come out and needs to be seen. Maybe it's the tree of keeping up with investments, keeping appointments that have been made and to-do lists to get checked off and retirement accounts to be filled. Maybe it's the trees of the season. Presents to be bought and wrapped and parties to attend and cards to sign and to address and stamp and mail and newsletters to write and lights to hang and trees to decorate and trips to take and houses to prepare for company and on and on and on. A million trees. What are your trees this year? You see, if the enemy cannot get you to outright rebel against God, to blatantly sin, to turn your back on God, he'll do the next best thing. He'll make you busy. He'll make you so busy that you don't even notice that something's wrong, terribly wrong. And is it possible that in our tree-induced blindness, in our incessant busyness, that we've lost all sense of mystery and wonder? Is it possible that we've become so desensitized by the muzak in the stores and the holiday decorations that come up at the beginning of November and just keep getting earlier and earlier. Is it possible that we've come to take it for granted? You know, the miracle and wonder of children. That miracle and wonder that sometimes gets drowned into the background to where they've become a hindrance to accomplishing a to-do list. These beautiful gifts of God that have become kind of white noise to all the voices in our head that are telling us, well, you can't get it done, and you're never going to get it done, and you're never going to amount to anything, and you're a constant failure. These children, these beautiful gifts of God that sometimes become nothing more than this headache-inducing chatter because our lives are just so starved of real peace and real quiet. Is it possible that we've become so bombarded by news reports and newspaper articles about war and death and murder and violence and abuse and exploitation and disease that we're just not even shocked anymore? That death has become the norm instead of a violation of God's plan? That we're no longer disgusted by the putrid stench of sin because we've grown to tolerate its fragrance all around us? Is it possible that we're no longer awed by the wonder, the sheer miracle of love itself? Love between spouses, love between siblings, love between parents, love between friends. Is it possible that we may have missed the very love that we've been waiting for our whole life because we're lost in the forest of a million trees? Let me ask you this morning, what is it that you're looking for? What are you really looking for in your life? What are you really waiting for? What is your heart's deepest desire? What do you hunger and thirst for? What do you long for with every fiber of your being? And is it possible that very thing is right there in front of you, but you're too busy and too distracted and too preoccupied to even notice it? Is it possible that you run the risk of letting another Christmas slip by while altogether missing the true gift of the season? The gift of God. The gift of hope. The gift of peace. The gift of joy. The gift of love. The gift of life itself. And if so, only one question for you. If you're in danger of missing it once again, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Let's pray together. Our God, we recognize that the world around us is clamoring with busyness, with shopping and with gifts and with wrapping and with decorating, and they're not bad things, Lord. They're not bad things. But Lord, if we ever let that forest of a million things clamoring for our attention distract us from the wonder of the season, then we've missed the point. If we let it distract us or desensitize us to the sheer miracle that in Jesus Christ, God, you took on flesh and came to earth as a vulnerable, humble, small, dependent baby. That you clothed yourself with flesh and blood, that you depended on your mother for nourishment, depended on your parents to change diapers and to care for you and to wash and to bathe you. God, that is sheer wonder and miracle. That you loved us enough to come down so that you could be one of us, showing us the way back to you. God, I pray that in the busyness of the season, you will give us time to pause, to be quiet, to listen, that you will open our eyes that we might see you, that you will open our ears that you might speak and we might listen, and that you will give us time, Lord, to open our mouth and praise you, returning a little bit of thanks for the joy that you have given us. Lord, we love you. We pray that you will open us up to you and help us to respond according to the truth and leading of your Holy Spirit. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.